Good morning.
It's good to see everyone here today. If you're visiting with us, we are glad to have you with us. And if you are joining us today by way of radio, we welcome you into the worship service of Hightower Baptist Church. If you're listening via internet, we're glad to have you also. And we just hope and pray that everyone that's here today is, I hope that we've come excited to be in the Lord's house. It's His day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I'll rejoice and be glad. I hope that's what all of us have come today, to rejoice and be glad that we're in the house of the Lord and that the Lord loves us. If you're here today and you don't know Him, or if you're listening by radio and you don't know who the Lord is, and maybe you're skeptical, maybe you've got some questions, well, I hope that by the end of the service today that a lot of those questions are answered for you. And I hope that you can fully commit your heart and your life to one that can help you through the journey of life and really turn your life around and change you, one that'll not forsake you, one that'll never let you down. And all of that hope is found in Christ Jesus. So I hope and pray that everyone today can leave here with that assurance of Christ in their heart and in their life. Thank you, choir. What a fantastic job. That was great. And in America, we still trust God. With all of our problems and faults that America has today, I'm so glad that there's many folks that still hang on to the values that have been instilled into this great country, and really the values that have made our country what our country is today. Because of the sacrifice that so many men and women have made down through the years. Give us, you and I, today the freedom that we have today to come in and worship. There is not a single person here today that had to have any kind of fear about them, about coming to the Lord's house. You cannot say that worldwide. So in America, we are blessed and we are very fortunate to have these freedoms. And I hope and pray that we would continue to be a land of the free like we are. I know a lot of you are very concerned about my grandson and all that's been going on with my family. And I'm going to share that with you after the service, okay? I'm going to let you know what's going on with everything, with Wyatt and Megan and Adam and Cindy, and it's all good. I'll go ahead and just tell you that it's all very good. And I thank you so much, church, for all of your prayers. And someone said to me, said, "Well, people's probably about worried you to death calling you or texting." I want to tell you something. You never worried or bothered me at all. I appreciate your concern very much. So don't ever feel like that at all. I wouldn't let you know what my phone number was if I didn't want you to get in touch with me. So I appreciate you doing anything and all of that. And just continue to remember them. And, so we had good news there. And, of course, Sage got good news also. It's amazing, folks, what prayer will do. We'll unite together and pray. Good things will always come from it, and I hope and pray that we'll always be a church that believes that strongly. We are glad today. He's going to come around just a little bit to have a service for us today. I understood that last Sunday when Wilson was leaving, a lot of folks said, "Wilson, we're glad to have you with us. Come back sometime." Well, he showed up today, and really and truly, I invited him to come and be with us. I knew I had a lot going on this week, so I'm glad that he's here. He's going to bring the message for us in just a little bit. And again, I hope and pray that we've come today to lift up the name of Jesus, worship Him in spirit and in truth like He wants us to. Let's just still our hearts and minds away and focus solely on Him. You'll be blessed if you do that. Wilson, if you would, come around, please.
Good morning. It's an honor and a privilege for us to be here today. Some of those folks that asked us to come back and see us. I saw them this morning. I said, "Y'all were just kidding, wouldn't you?" They said no. And like I said, Ronnie said he had asked me to be here today. And it's an honor and a privilege to be with Ronnie. One of my best friends in the whole world is Ronnie McCormick. Last Sunday's service was awesome. I just felt, you know, visitors, you know, they're not supposed to vote on things in the church. And I enjoyed the service so much, and that made me feel such a part of the service. When Chase came up to join the church, and Ronnie said, "Everybody in favor of this, let me know by raising your hands." Well, I raised my hand, and about the time I got it raised, I recognized I wasn't a member, so I done like this. Fastest vote in history. I really appreciate the Lord allowing us to have a good time in His house. To come together and just love one another and see what He has in store for us. I asked Ronnie, would this be okay for me to do this? I'm not going to read a message off the phone today, and I never have done this in a service today, but it really came on my heart, and I asked Ronnie, would it be okay to do this? And he said, absolutely. So I'm going to do it. It'll take only just a few moments. He asked me to come to do a history lesson, and I'm not going to do a complete service on a history. But if I ask today how many people in the congregation have knowledge of what happened to those 56 men that signed the Declaration of Independence and their families, I'm not going to ask, but there wouldn't be enough of us. So I'm going to read real quickly. It won't take but just a few minutes. You know, we celebrate America's birthday Thursday, and here in America, we still praise God, and we trust Him. But listen to what happened to these men, their families, their possessions, and maybe this will give us a better outlook on the 4th of July, that it's not just about the things that so many people do. And I would go as far to say this. There's thousands of Americans that will celebrate the 4th of July. And Ronnie, all they know is it's a day off work. Take this to heart. Explain it to your children, to your neighbor's children. And be real aware of what it took us to get to the United States of America. When the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence attached their signature to that document, each knew they were committing treason against the British crown. If caught and captured, they risked death, but death would not be swift. It would be by hanging to the point of unconsciousness, then being revived, disemboweled, their body parts boiled in oil, and their ashes scattered into the wind. Our founding fathers valued freedom for themselves and their posterity to the extent they found this fate worth the risk. The story below tells how what happened to the men who signed the Declaration of Independence. Five signers were captured by the British and brutally tortured as traitors. Nine fought in the War of Independence and died from wounds or from hardships they suffered. Two lost their sons in the Continental Army. Another two had sons captured. At least a dozen of the 56 had their homes pillaged and burned. What kind of men were they? 25 were lawyers or jurists, and the jurist was experts in the law. 11 were merchants, 9 were farmers, or large plantations owner. One was a teacher, one a musician, and one a printer. These were men of means and education, yet they signed a Declaration of Independence knowing full well the penalty could be death if they were captured. In the face of the advancing British army, the Continental Congress fled from Philadelphia to Baltimore on December 12, 1776. It was an especially anxious time for John Hancock, the president at his wife's side, had just given birth to a baby girl. Due to the complications stemming from the trip to Baltimore, the child lived only a few months. William Ellery signed the rest of his fortune, proved only to be too realistic. In December 1776, during 3 days of British occupation of Newport, Rhode Island, Ellery's house was burned and all the property destroyed. Richard Stockton, a New Jersey State Supreme Court justice, had rushed back to the state near Princeton after signing the Declaration of Independence to find his wife and children were living like refugees with friends. They had been betrayed by a sympathizer who had revealed Stockton's own whereabouts. British troops pulled him from his bed one night, beat him, and threw him in jail where he almost starved to death. When he was finally released, he went home to find his estate had been lost, looted, his possessions burned, his horses stolen. He had been so badly treated in prison that his death was ruined, and he died before the war's end. His surviving family had to live the remainder of their life on charity. Carter Braxton was a wealthy planter and trader. One by one, his ships were captured by the British Navy. He loaned a large sum of money to the American cause. It was never paid back. He was forced to sell his plantation and mortgage all his properties to pay his debts. Thomas McKean was so hounded by the British that he had to move his family almost constantly. He served in Continental Congress without pay and kept family in hiding. Vandals and soldiers have both looted the property of Clymer, Hall, Harrison, Hopkins, and Livingston. 17 lost everything they owned. Thomas Hayward Jr., Edward Rutledge, and Arthur Middleton, all of South Carolina, were captured by the British during the campaign in 79. They were kept in dungeons at St. Augustine Prison until exchanged a year later. At the Battle of Yorktown, Thomas Nelson Jr. noted the British General Cornwallis had taken over the family home for headquarters. Nelson urged General George Washington to open fire on his own home. This was done and the home was destroyed. Nelson later died bankrupt. Francis Lewis also had his home and properties destroyed. The British jailed his wife for 2 months, and that and other hardships from the war so affected her that she died only 2 years later. John Hart, a New Jersey farmer, was driven from his wife's bedside when she was at death. Their 13 children fled for their lives. Hart's field and his gristmill weighed waste. For over a year, he eluded capture by hiding in nearby forests and in caves. When he finally returned home, he found that his wife had died, his children disappeared, and his farm and stock were completely destroyed. Hart himself died in 1779 without even seeing any of his family again. Such were the stories and sacrifices typical of those who risk everything to sign the Declaration of Independence. These men were not wild-eyed, rabble-rousing ruffians. They were soft-spoken men of means and education. They had security, but they valued liberty more. Standing tall, straight, and unwavering, they pledged. So this is where that we have come from today to celebrate the 4th of July. I don't know how many people realize that, but it was real important to me that our children know. So Thursday morning when we wake up and we get up, it just won't be a barbecue or it won't be a hot dog or it won't be all these other things. But it'll be a day, as Ronnie said, the book of Psalms said, this is the day that the Lord has made and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Y'all feel like rejoicing today? Because we recognize the fact that these men lost fame, fortune, family. And they looked way down the time. And they had talked to King George, tried to get him to understand that it didn't have to be the way that he wanted it, but he just would not do anything. So their only thing was for those 13 colonies to break away from the British rule. And now we have America. America. Don't that sound good? Let's just all say America. America. Proud to be an American. Now, John Adams, one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, said this. This is the day after they had discussed it. And this is what he wrote to his wife, Abigail. I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations. as the great anniversary festival. And this is why he said we should celebrate the 4th of July. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. Amen. Now, let's talk about today. I'm through with the history lesson or whatever you want to call it. Let's talk about today. My wife bought a thing the other day and it said, this is a good day to have a good day. And I thought a lot about that, and the Lord just kind of let me see some stuff and led me along like a child. He has to. You know, I'm not real up there, so he has to take his time with me. And I thought today, as we're just out walking and we begin to see his creation again and begin to hear the birds singing, traffic going up down the road and all these things, what does this day mean to me? And in the 14th chapter of the book of Romans, you know that some of them disputed different days because the Jews, they wanted to stick with the Sabbaths and the moons and the festivals, you know, but those that have been saved by the grace of God, you know, they just esteemed it different. You know, and the scripture says one day, one person esteems one day different than the other. And some esteem every day the same. And I got to thinking about the farmers. The farmer would esteem a day different than those of us that are not farmers. He would look at the weather. Is it a good day to plant? Is it a good day to reap the harvest? Is it a good day to cut the hay? Or will it get wet? You know, and he looks at so many different ways, and he esteems his day different than someone that would go in that's an attorney, and they just go into an office that's comfortable. So we all have different days in our life that we esteem different, we look at different. But today the simple and short message would be, this is a day to have a good day. We can have a good day in America because of just what I read to you, those men and those women. And you know good and well that their children, they look back and they saw what their parents done and how they died. And I'm sure they didn't have, all of their days wasn't good, but on those days, when they looked down and they saw how far that civilization for America had come because of what their parents had done and how they trusted God, I can just hear them say, it's a good day to have a good day. Some people don't want a good day. Some people get up every morning and they act like they're mad because they live through the night. We need to get up of a morning and say, this is a good day to have a good day, because you and I have been blessed more than any nation in the world. We should always say it's a good day to have a good day. Regardless where things are going your way or not, sometimes we have to dig deep inside and try to understand why these things have come upon us. Why can't every day be joyous? And why can't every day, you know, we all have our problems in our life. I understand that every day is not, alike. Every day is not just perfect about the things that you and I would want in life. But every day can be a good day. And it's all in attitude and it's all in spirit. And if God just, if He just examined us all daily when we arose and at lunchtime and at nighttime, what kind of spirit would we have been living in that day? Is it a spirit of being thankful? With the attitude that it's a good day. And I will repeat this because I want to get it in your mind. It's a good day to have a good day. It's a good day to do this, and it's a good day to do that. Some days it's good days to play ball, and some days there's tornadoes and hurricanes, and that's not good days for that. But every day that you and I live, we can find something good about it. It's a good day to have a good day. And when I look back on those men and their lives and the death that they died, I reflect back on the days and I'm not happy about it. But I reflect back on the days on the 4th of July, and that's all it meant to me was a day off from work. But now that we have looked at it and we've thought about it and we've studied it, and somehow, you know, you can just sense that those men, they said it's a good day. It's a good day for us to sign that paper. It's a good day to set our children free. It's a good day to set our neighbor's children free. It's a good day to have a good day. So let's get on with it. Let's just sign the paper. So John Hancock, first one to sign. And then all those others that we read about. And they knew inside, they knew in their spirits, and they knew how ruthless and what a tyrant that they had lived under. And they understood the circumstances, but they still said, it's a good day to have a good day. It's a good day to flee and to come out from under bondage of all the things that we have been under bondage. And you can just see them. If you just use your imagination for a little while. And you just see them as they come together. And like I said, they wasn't rebels. And they wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't have no big party. But they met in and they were solemn about it. And I could see them. And you can too. Just think with me a moment. Fixing to sign a piece of paper. And they knew that their life probably would be taken because of this. And I guess they prayed. I guess they shook hands and hugged necks and cried. But in here, it's not about all this up here. But in here, the man talked about his 13 children, no doubt. The man talked about his little baby just being born. They didn't have a big party at the signing of the Declaration. But their heart went out for people. It was almost like if you just think about it, and I just try to let the Lord lead, but you just think about it, it was a necessity. And it was like in their life, they were saying, it's now or never. To me, this gospel stuff, to enjoy God, it's now or never. And we need to enjoy the free spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to be happy people, and we need to be joyous people. You know, and there's not, there, it's not a sin to be patriotic. You know, the media will make you think that it is. There's no sin in being patriotic. There's no sin in raising your hands and saying, thank you, Lord, and giving them a round of applause occasionally. And the scripture, the psalm says, clap your hands and shout with a voice of triumph. This is a good day to have a good day. Well, everything's going good in our life. We appreciate it, Jesus. You know, that's about the extent of it sometimes. But you know what? And everybody has their own different deals in the day, and the farmers, you know, they depend sometimes they depend on what's up in the sky, the clouds and the wind and the rain and all these things. Let me say this while I'm on the subject. If anyone ever complains to me about the price of food, whether it's meat or vegetables or fruit, I just always say this. You know, if it wasn't for those farmers, you ought not complain about the price of stuff. Have you ever thought about it? If it wasn't for those farmers, we'd all starve to death. They raised the pigs and the chickens and the cattle and the corn and the wheat and the fruits and all these other vegetables. So next time you go in the grocery store and you pick up something and you, my Lord, look at this pork chop. If $4. Just say, thank you, Lord, for that farmer that got up before daylight and fed hogs, that worked till after dark. You see what I'm saying? Today would be a good day to recognize how we have been blessed in America and stop some of this complaining about the price of everything. Because compared to what these 56 men did and their families, it's almost like we've had a free ride. Amen? I'm telling you. Well, what about the spiritual stuff? Tell me something. Tell me how I can have a good day in the spiritual realm. Well, this is what Jesus said about himself. Fourth chapter of the book of Luke, the 18th verse. He was explaining to those people that didn't understand him, that didn't trust him, that didn't believe in him, and didn't want to be around him. But he explained it to those mostly that wanted to know. Ronnie would like to know every Sunday when y'all come into this congregation that you're coming to be happy and to worship and to praise and to give thanks for what God has done for us. That's all he needs to know. You let him know that and he's a happy man himself. But you know what? If you don't put back into him stuff, he won't have nothing to offer. I know it's all of God. I know the calling is of God. I understand the Spirit of God. But you know what? A man gets tired of giving and giving and giving and nothing give back. He ain't said that it's me. He's you know, y'all take good care of him, I'm sure. And he has no complaint. He never complained to me. So, you know, we'll clear that up. But what about the spiritual? Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. So all I'm saying to you today, whatever condition you are in life, Jesus Christ has the want to, he has the know-how, he has the spirit, and he has the love. He wants to fix your life today. This is a good day to have a good day. So if you have never been saved by the grace of God, today is a good day for you to have the best day of your life, to come and invite Jesus Christ into your soul. Ronnie, would you come out? Would y'all come with a song, please? So whatever your issues in life, where you're brokenhearted, where you're a captive to some habit, wherever you might be in life and things are not going well, just think for just a moment. This is a good day to have a good day. Not complain and moan and groan and all that, but just to enjoy the goodness of God. So if you would stand, if you're listening by the way of radio, just bow where you are if you need Jesus in your life and tell him you want to be saved and you can be saved. It's just that simple.
Thank you, Wilson. Thank you for coming and sharing with us this morning. And it is a good day to have a good day. And I hope and pray that we'd realize that. And every day, you know, really and truly, if we just let the Lord be a part of our life every day, it will be a good day. Now, I know that somebody, you could say, well, there's things comes along, and boy, and you have too. You've had some of the roughest times and some of the times that look most discouraging that you could possibly see. But when you turn it all over to him and just said, Lord, I'm going to trust you, it's got a way of becoming a good day, even in the darkest times, even in the hardest and most difficult times of life. So we just thank you so much for that, Wilson, and all of you. It's good to be here this morning and just pray that the Lord will bless all of you. I hope everyone has a safe 4th. And whatever you do, though, do stop and think about the sacrifices that have been made. Down through, you know what? We're a young country. Did you know, do you ever think about that? America, if you look in terms of other countries, and America's a very young country. So be thankful for what we have. Okay, if everybody wants to be seated for just a moment, you can. So again, like I said, I told you that at the end I'd give you a little, tell you what was going on and everything. First of all, I just wanted to tell you thanks so much for everyone for the service last Sunday, for coming and praying for Sage and for Wyatt and probably a host of other problems that nobody knew anything about. But people were still praying for one another. And that's what we want to always do as a church. We want to always pray for one another because we don't always know what folks are going through with in life. Sometimes folks are facing things that they don't want to make public, and that's quite all right too. But we want to always be a church that prays for one another. And then when we do pray, we want to be a people that believes that God hears our prayers. And that in His time and in His way, He will answer our prayers. And I believe that's exactly what is taking place with both of these young men that we come and pray for. Sage received good news that can help him. It's a process. But you know what? God works through processes also. Very much so. Very much God works through processes of people's lives. And then as far as why, there is absolutely nothing happened that they wouldn't expect him to happen. The difficult times, the tough times, they knew would be there. The times of him throwing up very violently, screaming and crying his lungs out, they knew to expect that. But he is doing good. The real good part of what took place with Wyatt is this. And I'm just going to tell you the best I know how, and you're more than welcome to come up and ask me anything in the world you want to after service. But I can't guarantee that I have an answer for you, because a lot of this is just really beyond me, okay? They took his stem cells out, and they do a process called spinning, which creates more stem cells for him. The average, when they inject the stem cells back in that they have harvested out of the individual, the average is 20 to 25 million that they inject back into the spinal cord. Wyatt's was 35 million, which was a third more than what's considered normal, which is a good thing. And so I just ask you to continue to pray for him. Let's continue to pray for Sage, because do you understand what I'm saying? What we've prayed for both of these young men is a process. And the Lord understands every bit of that, and let's just trust him for all of it. So church, personally, from me and from my family, I want to thank you for your financial help and making this possible. I thank you so much for it. For your prayers and your concerns. I'm glad I don't have to pay you back, because I couldn't. Ain't no way. For all you've done and everything. And let's just continue to pray. The thing that it shows me above everything is what can be accomplished by a church that prays together and believes together. And folks, that's what we need to do beyond just the scope of things that's going on in people's lives. We need to pray that same prayer for people that are in this world that are lost, people that are not saved. We need to be just that dedicated in our prayers for them. Our revival's coming up, and I hope and pray that we pray that same kind of prayer, that the Lord would really move and work in a very mighty, strong, powerful way. So again, I just thank all of you for everything. Anybody have anything they want to share, say? If not, please stand. Thank you, Wilson, again for coming. Thank all of you for being here. Just continue to pray for us. And I will ask you to do this. I got to pick them up tomorrow at 5:30. I hadn't been selfish at all, but you might want to whisper one for me. Or maybe the people that's in the lanes next to me, you know. Okay. It'll all be good, but again, really, I do thank you so much. Anyone have anything they want to share, say, anyway? Okay, if not, let's all bow our heads. Edwin, would you dismiss us, please?